Okay, here we go. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. All right, everybody. Well, for you guys, that might be a happy occasion. For me, it's a little sad. This is my last week to be teaching. So I tried to get them to give me another 13 weeks, but they said we just couldn't do that. So they love you guys a lot. But as we draw today a conclusion to our knowledge and our fight and understanding in the spiritual warfare, I wanted to do everything I could to bring it to a conclusion in a positive and somewhat encouraging conclusion, because as you know, our spiritual warfare is pretty daunting when we look at all the facts and we look at all that challenges us during our daily walk as true believers in Christ. So before we get started, let's bow in a word of prayer and we get started. Almighty God, we are so very thankful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to be here amongst true believers. Father, it is our prayer that you will continue to give us the ability to read and understand your word, to apply it to our lives, to let it rest and take root in our heart, so that we may stand firm in our belief, that we may have the courage to not only approach you and petition you in the avenue of prayer, but to stand firm in our faith as we engage in a spiritual battle on a daily basis. Father, we know that the father of all lies, the devil, is out there challenging us daily, hourly, second by second, doing everything he can to distract us, doing everything he can to entice us with the trappings and desires of the world. It is our prayer, Father, that we can come to you and ask for strength and guidance so that we may remain focused on the cross and that we may be true stewards of the Lord, of the Lord's word. And that in addition to keeping ourselves strong, we may be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters. We may be here to edify, to uplift, to encourage, to strengthen, and to be their counsel during times of difficulty. It is our prayer, Father, that we may remain focused. The times we have to meditate on the word, that we do so with a manner that is receptive to the word, and that we may have a true understanding of the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Forgive us of our sins and be with us this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to admit to you that about 10:30 last night, I changed directions. I was all prepared. I was wrapping up. I was bringing everything to a conclusion. And because of my desire to bring a conclusion to you that was uplifting and encouraging, I thought my previous points that I was going to bring to you might not have quite that effect. So if I seem a little out of sorts, a little unprepared, that's because I changed everything. And this morning I finally got everything put together and hopefully in a presentation that will be suitable for you all today and will have the same impact to you guys that I intended in my mind. Because I do know that what the scripture tells us is that our spiritual warfare is real. And is something that if as true believers we don't take it to be real, we are already in jeopardy of falling to the temptations of the father of all lies. And that if we don't keep ourselves alert and aware of all of those wiles and trappings of the devil, that as we have come to the senior years that we are enjoying now, that we might have a tendency to become complacent. We might have a tendency to be relaxed. We might have a tendency to just let our guard down for a little bit and give an opportunity for Satan to step in and to deflect us, to cause us to doubt, to cause us to question, to cause us to lose our focus on the cross. And my encouragement to you is that we not do that. My encouragement is to you is to realize, and I've said this before, that although we are retired in life, we are not retired from Christianity. And that there are still plenty of avenues for you all to participate in when it comes to being active stewards of the law. I know you all have done your time when it comes to teaching. You have all have put in your time when it comes to being servants behind the scenes, and you're probably still actively doing that. But this is where Satan steps in to us who are older, and they say, you know, it's okay to relax a little bit. It's okay to enjoy the comforts of that easy chair just a little bit more. It's okay to step back and let somebody else younger step in and take over. I mean, that's the way it's meant to be. The thing is that that's true. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't lose focus. Now that we are in our senior years, we talked about edifying, encouraging, and being an example for people that are younger than us. Larry talked about how difficult that is. We had some others with the same kind of comments. That in today's generation, it is so difficult to get close to the younger generation. That it's difficult for us to be engaged. It's difficult for us to be involved. It's difficult for us to have, perhaps, a direct influence in the lives of younger Christians. Whether they're teenagers, whether they're just married young husband and wives that have not yet had a family, or to those who are not only having their families but have older children in perhaps elementary or junior high classes or even older. The times that we have known as kids growing up where there were true front porch neighborhoods, where people spent time talking and engaging and enjoying each other's company, it made it much more easier for us to engage in Christian talk. It made it much more easier for us to be involved in other people's lives. There seemed to be an understanding and an acceptance and a welcoming of having company of other people. Today it's different. Today it seems like that separation just becomes further and further and further apart. And our outreach, our ability to reach out into not just our own Christian family, but into the world becomes more and more difficult and challenging. That's how Satan works. He doesn't stand at the front of our building and look at us as we come in going, I want you, I want you, I want you. He's not that direct. He causes us to be susceptible to our own inwardly temptations. And that's where we have the challenge. That's where he can get us. That's where he can sneak up on us. And that's where we have to be careful. So as we have talked before, in the spiritual warfare, where do we stand? with all of the powers that Satan has, how do we stand against him? We have to remain in the Word. We have to commit ourselves to daily study, even at our age. We have to be physically, mentally, and spiritually engaged in the Scripture. That's our first line of defense. Because the more we know Scripture, the more we are involved in the Word, the more prepared we are to face Satan. The more prepared we are to challenge the false teachers. Do we have any fewer false teachers today than what they did back in the first century? If you just look at physical numbers of inhabitants of the world, we could probably say yes. But as far as false teacher goes in the way Satan tries to deceive us, it's no different now than it was back then. I don't want to pick on anybody in particular, but we can see false teachers on TV. We can read about false teachers in books that are in print. We can hear false teachers who profess to be preaching the gospel on the radio. If we don't know the truth, then we won't know what and how they are deceiving us. The Bible has example after example of godly men who lost their way, or worse, walked with him no more. And I had a little bit of reservations of putting in John 6, 6, 6. I was going to go John 6, 6 to 7, but it still was John 6, 6, 6. But I was hoping we'd see a little humor in that. But even the disciples, after they truly had an understanding of what Christ's purpose was here on earth, and that the kingdom that he was going to establish was not on earth like they understood it, but in heaven, some of them were disappointed. Some of them were so disappointed that they could not continue to follow Christ. Because whatever they had, whatever inwardly selfish desires they had, the kingdom that they understood to be established on earth was going to be a kingdom that they thought they could benefit from. And when they found out that that was not the case, they walked away. I was going to use the example in Luke 22 of Judas and Peter, because we see two men who in the beginning were chosen. If we didn't know anything else of Judas up to the time of his betrayal, how would we characterize him? Would we characterize him as a good guy? Sure. Would we characterize him as somebody being trustworthy? Sure. Because up to that point, the other disciples trusted him enough to give him control over the purse strings. Up to that point, they never saw anything in him that would question whether he was capable or faithful to take care of the monies. Was he trustworthy? Was there anything that Judas wasn't given that the other disciples were given when they went out into the world? He had the same powers. He had the same authority. He himself could cast out demons. He walked and talked with Christianity on his tongue. And that's where we have to be careful. Because up to that point, up to that time in which Satan entered him and he decided to betray Jesus, Judas was no different than the other disciples. And that's where our challenge is. We can don the armor of God and we can walk around with our armor ready to go, polished and shiny, fit, carrying that weight. But we all have a seed inside of us that is susceptible to temptation. And that's where we have to have an understanding of what our inner weaknesses are so that we can fortify ourselves against the wiles of Satan. Satan would have us believe that our fear and concern for hell is a misunderstanding of the scripture, that the world is not that bad of a place. We see that in Genesis when he was talking to Eve. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Matter of fact, you'll be just as smart as God, and look where that'll get you. He knows how to dig around in our hearts and our mind and our souls if we let him. And to find those things that trap us and embellish him and go, you know, it's really not that bad. Look around. Everybody else is doing it. It's okay. Especially if you do it around here where they won't see you. Especially if you do it when you're not at church. I don't think anybody will catch you. He has a way of twisting the scriptures. We've read that he knows the scriptures just as well as anybody else. That's why it is so important that we as individual Christians know the scriptures as well, so that we can challenge him. If that person appears to us as a light, an angel of light, how do we know if we don't put them to the test? And that angel of light could be anybody in our lives. And that's, again, the challenge. If we don't fall for his trickery, he will appeal to our fears and our weaknesses. What are some of our fears? Fears of getting old? Fears of death? Maybe just the fear of thinking that if I can't forgive myself, how could God forgive me? Maybe the fear of thinking we're just not, or I'm just not good enough. If we have those fears and we let them rest on our hearts, that allows Satan an opportunity to get in and destroy us. He will apply pressure to our inner armor of God, looking and prying for cracks and weaknesses. We can see in Job where he was given permission to do everything he could to try to lead Job away from God, except attack Job himself. Job lost everything. Land, cattle, family, wife. Everything that would be emotionally, physically attached to him in some way, form, or fashion was taken away. Those are our challenges. And they're real. And they're something that we have to consider all the time. He would have us believe that we are alone and powerless to resist him. How many of you felt like that before? In your deepest hour, when the weight of the world is on you, for whatever reason, and you find yourself on your knees, struggling with the adversities that are set before you, where do we go in our spiritual life? Do we succumb to the fact that God has left us? Do we think that how in the world can we have a God who is not loving and not caring would put this weight and burden on me for not just today, but maybe for a week, for a month, perhaps longer? The devil is waiting for the world to beat us down so hard and so low to the ground that the moment we question our Christianity, he's got us. We have to be careful. We have to understand that we are not in this game alone. And he has told us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he won't leave us, that he'll always be there. He would have us believe that our God is a cruel and unloving God. Just look around at the chaos and the pain in the world today. I've said this before, or made the comment. How many times have you heard, at least in a movie or somebody, or maybe in amongst your peers, somebody said, how could God do this? How could God let that happen to an innocent child? Even amongst Christians, how could God take away a brother or sister in Christ who is an example of true stewardships of the word, and yet let an individual who is evil, cruel, and maniacal still live? That's not our course. That's not for us to decide. We have enough on our plates just taking care of our own salvation. But we have to be grounded in our faith. We have to understand that as individuals of free will, this world will go on like it does. That as free will Christians, we have the opportunity and the privilege of making decisions on our own. That hopefully through the knowledge and the guidance and the love that God has given us in these words, in this scripture, we can make those right decisions. And as the chaos and the ugliness of the world surrounds us, that we will draw closer to God with a stronger and a better understanding of Christianity and the reward we will have in heaven if we stand firm in our faith. The devil would have us believe that our Christianity as true believers is a lost cause. Have you seen the rules in the first century church? Have you seen the rules in the New Testament? Who could expect anybody to follow those without sin? Why would your God set a path before you that would pretty much be a success for failure? That's how the world thinks. That's how the world justifies them being outside of the biblical teachings and enjoying whatever they want to when they're in the world. God tells us straight up, this won't be an easy task. Your path will be a challenge. But I will be there to walk with you, to get you through this. But just remember, your ultimate reward, your home in heaven, by far exceeds anything that what you would experience here on earth. It's worth the wait. And we see that example through Paul's life. Paul had his challenges. My goodness. We see him in the dungeons of the Roman people. And not only is he down there in the dark, damp, unhealthy conditions, and his body is hurt, his body is sore. He's not a young man. But what do we find him doing? Singing. And still converting. So we have a true understanding and a true belief in what Christ offers us. We'll get through this. If we try to fight this battle with a worldly perspective or by ourselves means alone, we will lose this fight. And that's why God tells us, you're not alone. I keep my promises. I will be with you always. And in addition to that, I found you worthy enough to give you my one and only son, a pure, unblemished sacrifice on your behalf. In addition to that, I've given you the avenue of prayer to come to me anytime with your concerns or your petitions. Oh, by the way, I give you the Holy Spirit as well to walk with you here on earth, to give you guidance as you study the Word, to help to enlighten you so that you can be receptive to that Word that is given us. This is our roadmap to eternity. The Holy Spirit will help us walk that journey. And He has given us each other. He's given us instructions. He said, when you pray, pray for the things that you need or want, but also pray for your brothers and your sisters. Pray for yourself. But pray. And prayer is that intimate relationship we have with our God. The more mature we are in the Scriptures, the more mature we are in our relationship with Him as well. And that's the fight. In this spiritual warfare, do we stand? Where do we stand? Well, we do not stand alone. Our Father in heaven is and will always be with us. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, okay? Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. When Jesus was on the cross, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was praying, because His time on the cross was coming to an end. You wouldn't think that a man of like Jesus, who was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, would have a prayer that would say, if at all possible, let this pass. I mean, He was of God. He knew all things. But yet His prayer was so fervent that at that moment, theoretically, He could have changed His mind. knowing what he was going to have to be succumbed to when he died. The pain and agony that he was probably going to have to suffer as he himself experienced hell. He was probably thinking, I just don't know if I want this burden. But because of his true understanding, of his true compassion, and because of who he was, he says, let thy will be done and not mine. We are not alone. And how sad is it for us to give up on Christ when he didn't give up on us? That's why we have to encourage each other. That's why we have to be there for each other when we're down, when the weight of the world is a millstone that we can't see around and we just cannot stand under the weight. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:20, in the end of that verse, it says, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Not just to the end of our life, but to the end of the ages. When he comes again, there'll be time for all of us to rejoice. And all of us will be asked to take our place in the kingdomly heaven. Because we endured. We overcame. We fought the good fight. We were stewards of the law, of the word, as we were instructed to be. And we finished the race. He's not done yet. As I said, we have been given the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, not to God's, not to Jesus's, but to our advantage to go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So then there, during that time that he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, this was some of the scripture that was going through his head. He said, all of these people will be lost if I change my mind. Christ had compassion for us. He had a love for us that reflected that as God. And because of that, when he said, let thy will be done, not mine, he meant it. And now we have the Holy Spirit, who is our guide here on earth, who is our mediator on our behalf here on earth. If that doesn't inspire us, if that doesn't give us the confidence to walk the walk and talk the talk, to be steadfast Christians in this world, then we need to do some more studying. Then we need to grow and nurture our maturity in Christ so that we can stand firm and so that we will not be ashamed of that which we believe. Now, we have come to know some things about Satan, some characteristics as we've gone through this, but here's some additional things that I think will help us in our fight and encourage us to go to the finish. He is not all powerful. He has limitations. We see in Job, he had to ask, or he had to be told what he could or couldn't do to Job. He had his limits. We see in the New Testament, he had to ask permission. And Jesus denied it. So he can't just do any and everything he wants. Now, he has been given great power and authority, but he does have his limitations. Satan is a created being, therefore cannot be greater than our God. And because he is created, he wasn't created to be better than that who created him. So that just reinforces the fact that he is not that powerful. He does have his limitations. But let's not become relaxed because we know his limitations. He is still a formidable foe. And he still will do everything he can to dissuade us from being Christians. Satan cannot make us sin. There is no sin that we have done in our lives or will do in the future that Satan will have twisted our arm and made us do. All of those times that we have sinned and all the times that we probably will sin in the future is because we didn't make the right decision, because we chose poorly. Even at our age, we still have to be careful in the decisions that we make. Maybe we need to come back with those little bracelets. I mentioned that before. WWJD. Before we have anything to do, we look at that bracelet and go, what would Jesus do? Just a friendly reminder. No knee-jerk decisions. No spontaneous reactions. But a moment to pause and to reflect on what and how Jesus would handle the situation. We talked about Satan knows his time is limited. And because of that, the veracity of his attack is with such a deep-seated anger that he will never, never give up. Since he was not able to defeat our Christ in heaven, he has been now turned on loose on us here on earth. And he will do everything he can to turn us away from our God. Until the day in which our salvation is asked of us, we are, as true believers, a threat to him. But on the other hand, he is just as much a threat to us. We cannot let our guard down. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. Have you ever thought about that for a minute? He's not like God. He is limited in what he can do. The Bible says he prowls the earth like a lion. He walks this earth. Now, that doesn't mean he's not effective. Just look at the world today. But he has helpers. He has minions. And they're not these cute little yellow things that you see, you know, in the movies and stuff. These are diabolical helpers. They're just as mean and nasty as he is. And we can see the influence that it has in this world by just what's around us. Ephesians 6, 10, 11 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. This is us. A warrior in Christ, clothed in the armor of God, with the support of the Holy Spirit, with the avenue of prayer, and with the attitude of humility humbleness, meekness, reinforced by the strength and the courage given us by the Scriptures. There's no formidable foe than one who has nothing to lose. And that's who we are facing. But we are on the winning team. Don't forget that. We have made a choice to be a part of this family. Nobody forced us to become a Christian. But there was something in our heart, there was something in our soul that brought us to the Scriptures so that we felt in our hearts enough to make that commitment to Christ. To fulfill all the obligations that we signed that covenant when we were baptized. To go out into the world, to teach, to preach, to baptize, to be good stewards, to be effectively present and doing God's work all the time. Whether it is teaching or preaching or a servant who does things that maybe nobody knows of. On our behalf and for our benefit, I want to read Titus. Well, I know it's in my book. I told you I'd made some changes, so. Okay, I'm embarrassed now. Will somebody read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10? My goodness. I think Satan took it out of my Bible.
To be discreet, chaste people at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should settest in order the things that are wanting and ordained elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless,
thank you. That kind of wraps it up. All of that right there. So as not as all lost at our age, there's still plenty for us to do. We're encouraged to stand firm in the faith. God is with us. Jesus is there. And we have everything we need here to win the battle. So good luck. And thank you for this 13 weeks. Our time's up.